to turn to Exodus chapter 5. For some time now, we've been preaching from the same verse or passage, both services. It's no reason for it other than just the way the Lord's been leading. But in Exodus 5, we'll again read verses 1 and 2. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Again, in these verses, we see Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. And I picture them in a very commanding and authoritarian, emphatic tone, speaking, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Again, by way of background, the purpose of God, way back to Abraham, was that Abraham and his descendants would occupy the land of Canaan. And in the closing chapters of Genesis, as we mentioned this morning, we see Jacob and his family entering into the land of Egypt. And they would be there for 430 years. We read in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40, "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. With that in mind, if you turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7, and verse 36, "And God spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. So for 30 years, everything was fine. But then the last 400 years was cruel bondage. Again, approximately 10 generations, the bondage continued and the bondage worsened. And that's how it is. It not only continues, it worsens from one generation to the next. Moses and Aaron have been informed by God that God was going to deliver his people from this Egyptian bondage. We see that in chapter 3 and verse 8. And that he would use them in doing so. And we see that in verse 10 of chapter 3. So, coming to our text, we see Moses and Aaron are simply following the instruction of the Lord. They appear before Pharaoh. They confront Pharaoh. They do so in the name of God, in the authority of God. "Thus saith the Lord." I want to speak tonight on confronting our Pharaoh, or Pharaohs, whatever the case might be. But first of all, I want to consider Pharaoh and the people of God. There are evil forces that have been in existence before now. And though they are not physically present today, the spirit of them is at work. For example, there's the spirit of Cain. And we could preach a message on each one of these, but they're the spirit of Cain, the spirit of Goliath, the spirit of Jezebel, spirit of Absalom, spirit of Delilah, spirit of Herod, and on you can go. Then you have the spirit of Pharaoh. And he no doubt is a type of Satan. But he's also a representation of anything that strives to keep us in bondage, holding us back from real worship, holding us back from service to God. And Pharaoh of Egypt had a plan for God's people, just like Satan has a plan for each one of us. And that plan, summed up in one word, is bondage. That's the plan of Satan. That was the plan and that was the intent of Pharaoh. And he stood absolutely and defiantly opposed to "Thus saith the Lord," and to "Let my people go." He was absolutely opposed to that. So is Satan today. So are the Pharaohs of today. So he was an opposing force to the Lord, which of course is an exercise in futility, but he was an opposing force to God. But he was also an opposing force to God's people. So consider, first of all, the person and agenda of Pharaoh. In Exodus 1, verse 7, we see that the children of Israel are flourishing in Egypt. But notice in Exodus 1 and verse 8, Exodus 1, verse 8, "Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." That doesn't mean that he was ignorant of the person of Joseph. But what it means is that he had no regard for Joseph. None. He did not acknowledge, he did not respect Joseph. Now Joseph, of course, is the most fitting type of Christ in all the Word of God. But it says that Pharaoh knew not Joseph. And I believe that's the foundation of his character. He knew not, he did not regard Joseph. And it's what drives his agenda. It's what drives the agenda of Pharaoh. Disregard for Christ. The agenda of Joseph, again, is the bondage of those that were identified with Joseph. We see he begins to increase their workload there in chapter 1, verse 11, verse 13 and 14. He desires to shape the lives of the Israelites for the purpose of control. Satan wants to control every one of our lives. And he has many ways of doing so. And he desires, if he gets us in bondage, all kinds of Pharaohs will rise up in an attempt to keep us in bondage. Reading on in chapter 1, Pharaoh instructed the midwives to kill the male newborns of the Israelites. That also reveals the agenda of Pharaoh. The termination of a way of life. The putting to an end a way of life. So Pharaoh is all about contempt for Christ and his people. He knew not Joseph. He's all about the bondage of the people of God, keeping them under his thumb. And he's also all about the termination of a way of life identified with Jesus Christ. Secondly, there are a variety of Pharaohs, as we saw this morning. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. He's an enemy. He's an enemy with purpose. He's an enemy with resolve. He is an enemy that seeks to overpower, seeks to enslave, seeks to oppress the people of God. He is enemy that stands opposed to righteousness wherever it is, stands opposed to godliness wherever it is, stands opposed to anything and everything that is pleasing to the Lord. He is an enemy that desires to turn the people of God away from prayer, away from the Word of God, away from the ways of God, away from the worship of God, away from fellowship with the Lord. But not only turning them away from God and these things, but keeping them away. He's not just content in turning us away. He doesn't want us to go back. And He's going to do everything to keep us in bondage, these Pharaohs. Again, He stands defiantly opposed to the saved, doing and being what they were, what we were saved to do and to be, which is to worship and serve the Lord. He stands opposed to any meaningful relationship with the Lord. And the reason behind all of this, again, is the bondage of those who are identified in our text with Joseph, but for you and I, those who are identified with Christ. And the termination of a Christ life. He wants to put it to an end. And He can do that by keeping people in bondage. But Satan is not the only Pharaoh. Satan has many Pharaohs under him that, for lack of a better word, he employs to carry out his agenda. What's his agenda? Bondage. Termination. Pharaoh, as we said this morning, is anyone or anything that strives to bring us into bondage, to oppress and to restrain us from real worship and true service to the Lord. There are Pharaohs everywhere. They're everywhere. They are innumerable. And at every turn, these Pharaohs strive to bring, and once they bring, they strive to keep us in bondage. Keep us in a life of defeat. If you ever get to feeling defeated, and we all do, mark it down. There will be a Pharaoh that rises up to tempt to keep you there. There's a big difference between feeling defeated for a little while and staying there. Huge difference. We all have moments, but the key is that you don't stay there. He wants to keep people in a life of weariness. We all get weary. And when we do, there's going to be a Pharaoh that's going to strive to keep us there. We all get frustrated. And when we do, again, there's going to be a Pharaoh to rise to keep us there. We all get disappointed. Sometimes we feel empty. And there is a Pharaoh that desires to keep us there. There are Pharaohs without. There are Pharaohs within. I'm not talking about the church building, though that's true. I'm talking about our individual lives. There's Pharaohs outside of our life. There's also Pharaohs in us that we must be aware of. As we mentioned this morning, some of the Pharaohs can be family, can be friends, responsibilities, plans, goals, pursuits, careers, distractions, cares. All of these things can become Pharaohs in our life. There's the Pharaoh of self. He might be the biggest one of all. The Pharaoh of self. There's the Pharaoh of just being earthly minded. There's the Pharaoh of covetousness, the Pharaoh of worldliness. And as we mentioned this morning, many others, anger, backbiting, the list goes on and on. There's the Pharaoh of opinion. Well, I think. But really what it boils down to is, thus saith the Lord. There's Pharaohs everywhere. And no matter what the Pharaoh is, the agenda is the same. Bondage. Keep the child of God in bondage so that they cannot worship. So that they cannot serve the Lord. Then I want to look at the resistance of Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Moses and Aaron, I will not let them go. In other words, it's not happening. I'm not letting them go. Pharaoh was determined to keep those who were identified with Joseph in his grip. Again, no matter what form Pharaoh takes, the agenda is bondage, leading to eventual termination, the ceasing of a life. He has no intention of letting go. None. He is not going to let go unless the Lord does a work. Moses and Aaron said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. And Pharaoh's reply is, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. There's a mouthful. I know not the Lord. Neither will I let Israel go. And he resisted every step of the way. In Exodus chapter 5, at the thought of them going free, notice verse 8, the very thought of the Israelites going free, and the tale of the bricks which they did make, therefore ye shall lay upon them, ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. The very thought of that they would be free, appalls Pharaoh. And he says, beginning there in verse 9, let their more work be laid upon them. In other words, they're not going free. You lay more work. You make it harder upon them. Verse 10, and the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye, get straw where ye can, find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished. Made their lives harder and harder and harder. In verse 14, wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore? He had no intention of letting God's people go free. God, in the meantime, sent a plague of blood upon the Nile River. In chapter 8 and verse 1, Moses and Aaron again appear before Pharaoh, and they say, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may serve me. And then God sent a plague of frogs that overran the country, and a plague of lice. And then in chapter 8 and verse 20, Moses and Aaron again are before Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may serve me. Which led to Pharaoh making a compromise. In chapter 8, verse 25, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. So he grants permission for them to worship their God, but he really didn't. But only if they stayed in Egypt under his rule. He's resisting. He's resisting letting go. What he's saying is, you can go ahead and go through the motions of worship, but I'm not letting you out of my sight. That's Pharaoh. Those are the Pharaohs we deal with. So then God sent a grievous swarm of flies upon the land, which caused Pharaoh to say in Exodus 8, verse 28, you may sacrifice the Lord your God, only you shall not go very far away. Again, what is he resisting here? He's resisting letting go. He's resisting relinquishing control over the lives of God's people. He was lengthening the chain, but it's still a chain. Don't ever forget that. He may lengthen the chain for a little while, but it's still a chain. It's no way to live. So Pharaoh, in his resistance, basically, when he said, go not very far away, what he was proposing was borderline Christianity. Pharaoh's been doing that ever since. In chapter 9, verse 1, Moses and Aaron are again before Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. This was followed by a plague of pestilence upon the cattle, a plague of boils, and then Moses and Aaron again appear before Pharaoh in chapter 9 and verse 13. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Notice every single time from chapter 5 on, it's the same demand. Let my people go, that they may serve me. And then in chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, Pharaoh makes another proposal. He basically says, you may go, but because it's dangerous, you need to leave your children behind. What's he doing? He's resisting letting go. He's resisting letting go. He seeks to retain them through their natural affections, which has been a trick of Satan ever since the garden. Why did he approach Eve to get to Adam? He would attack Adam through his natural affections. Satan does it all the time. And all of his pharaohs do the same thing. So Pharaoh here sought to use their children to keep them from being done with Egypt, because he knew if their children stay in Egypt, they're coming back. They're not going to be long. They're not going to be gone long. They're coming back. It's all about he's resisting letting go. God would then send the plague of darkness. It was during that plague of darkness that Pharaoh called unto Moses. And Pharaoh made another proposal there in chapter 10, verse 24. He said, go serve ye the Lord, but let your flocks and herds be stayed. Your little ones also can go with you, but leave your herds behind. He's still resisting letting go, because he knew if their flocks and herds were left in Egypt, that their hearts and minds also would be in Egypt. He knew that they would be double-hearted, double-minded, and a double-minded man is unstable. So he made that offer. Again, the desire, keep control. Keep control. And so in all of this, we see Pharaoh resisting time and time again. He's resisting the relinquishing of control over the lives of God's people. Now there's a valuable lesson there, or a warning. Once Pharaoh has control in your life, he's not going to easily let go. He's going to resist every step of the way. It doesn't matter what or who the Pharaoh is. Once they have that control over our life, they're not going to easily let go. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle. How many times you and I, well, we're going to stop doing such and such. It's not that easy, is it? It's a battle. Because Pharaoh is not going to let go. He's going to resist. And in chapter 12, verse 31, we see God sent the plague of the death of the firstborn. And Pharaoh there in chapter 12, verse 31, called for Moses and Aaron by night. He was so troubled. And said, "Rise up, get you from among my people." It appears that Pharaoh has relinquished control. But as Israel is leaving, what does he do? He pursues them. Because he has no intention of letting go. So be sure of this, even when Pharaoh relinquishes control, he will relentlessly pursue. And we all know this by experience. Take the Pharaoh of pride. We say, okay, I realize that pride's a problem. It's a Pharaoh in my life. I want to be free from it. It resists every step of the way. And even when it appears that pride has let go of you, it pursues you constantly. Pharaoh does not easily let go. That's why we have to be very, very, very cautious of all Pharaohs. God's call was to confront Pharaoh. We've seen, we've referred to verses over and over. We see Moses and Aaron facing Pharaoh, confronting Pharaoh. And they did so with authority, the authority of God, thus saith the Lord. They did so with the power of the Lord. And I believe every time they faced Pharaoh, they did so with boldness and steadfastness, because the message never changed. And they did so without wavering, sticking to the demand, "Let my people go." Pharaohs must be identified. Whatever Pharaoh sets up a throne in our life, we must be able to identify Pharaoh. Because you cannot confront him or it or whatever until first you identify the problem, the Pharaoh. And this is very difficult. It's not easy to identify the Pharaohs that are in our lives. It may be plain as the noonday sun to everyone around us. But it's not easy to identify my Pharaoh. But it's absolutely necessary. If we're going to be set free, it's an absolutely necessary step. Most never identify the Pharaohs in their lives. They never identify what they need to be freed from. And then, of course, there are those who misidentify the Pharaohs that control and define their lives. And you know what happens when we misidentify a Pharaoh in our life? That Pharaoh gets stronger and stronger. Because now we're distracted. And once we've identified Pharaoh, it must be confronted. Whatever Pharaoh, whether it's without, outside or whether it's within us, that holds us back from worshiping, living for God, and having a relationship with God, we need to identify that in our life. We need to confront that in our life. Let me go. In the authority and power of God, let me go. And that Pharaoh will resist every step of the way. And even when it seems that He's let go. He'll pursue us. Because he wants that control. Why? Because the devil does not want us to worship God. Does not want us to serve the Lord. Which brings us to our final point, which reveals the importance of worship and service to God. If Satan and all his pharaohs fight this every step of the way, it's got to be mighty important. The worship of the Lord. We are saved to worship God. We are saved to worship God. Man is created to worship. We are saved to worship God. Saved to render God glory. To render God honor and submission, which are all His due. To worship, of course, involves the heart. It's the overflow of a grateful heart under the sense of His favor. It includes conformity to God. Pharaoh's going to resist every step of the way of conformity to God. It includes a spirit of love to God. It includes faith in God, praise for God, thanksgiving, surrender, commitment to God. To truly worship is life renewing. One way that we can know if we've truly worshiped is, have we been renewed? Because true worship will always renew us. It always makes us stronger. And Satan fights it every step of the way. And many times, that's why many times you begin to worship the Lord, it happens to all of us. And all of a sudden, our minds are somewhere else without any warning. That's Pharaoh. That's what he does. Seeks to control. It's a battle. It's a struggle. Worship is a life-impacting event. If we come and worship and it has not impacted us, then we haven't worshiped. And Satan fights it every step of the way. So, oh, how important it is to worship the Lord. Let my people go, that they may have a feast unto me. That is, that they might worship me. Let my people go, that they might serve me. We have to be liberated to worship. We have to be liberated to serve. And we were saved to serve God. I quit a long time ago trying to talk people into serving God. Just ask them a simple question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Because if you are, you were saved to worship the Lord. We were saved to be surrendered to His government. You cannot serve God if you're not surrendered to His government. We were saved to be surrendered to His government, to be under His rules, to be under His ways, and to serve His interest for the rest of our lives. And as soon as we're under the government of God, or we get serious about being under the government of God, His rules, His ways, Pharaoh rises up. He says, I can't have this. And he does everything in his power to keep us bound in Egypt. It's to be our resolve to serve God. That's why I believe, to me, salvation is the motive for serving God. Love to God is the motive to serve God. So you remind yourself every day, I'm saved. And He loves me, and I love Him. What other reason do you need? There is no other reason to serve the Lord. It means to be available to God. We can't be available to God if we're in bondage. If we're under the control of some Pharaoh. We have to be liberated to be available to God. Now I realize, having said that, God can make us available. I'm quite aware of that. We need to be entirely at His disposal. And we're not if we're in bondage, if we're under the control of a Pharaoh. We need to be aligned and attached to God. And we're not if we're under bondage. I mean, walking with Him, pleasing Him. To serve God is to be decidedly for God. And we cannot be decidedly for God if one minute we're over here, next minute we're over here, and over here, and over here. And that's why Pharaoh just gave him more work. Just give him more to do. But they're not going free. And that's what God's people do many times. They get to feeling guilty about something. Well, I'll just do more. That's just another form of bondage. That's what Pharaoh did. Just give him more work. Let my people go. Need to be free. That he resists so strongly shows us the importance of worship and service to God. Anything can become a Pharaoh. We need to always be aware. This can become a Pharaoh in my life. It can distract me from serving God. My main calling in life is to serve God. That's true of every one of us here that are saved. You don't have to be a preacher. That doesn't matter. Everyone who's saved, your main calling is to serve the Lord with your life. And there will be all kinds of Pharaohs to distract us from that. And once he gets you in his grip, he's not going to let go easily. It's going to take the almighty arm of God to set us free. But that's the good news. Our God is greater than any Pharaoh. No matter what the Pharaoh is, no matter how long someone has been in the grip of Pharaoh, they can be set free because of our God. So you can't succumb to, well, it's been this way for however long, just the way it is. No, you need to get your eyes on God and realize that God and His power can break the iron grip of Pharaoh, whatever it is. But really what it comes down to is God's people. And most of us here, I believe, love the Lord. We want to worship. We want to serve. We desire those things. But when a Pharaoh gets a hold of us, we have to realize it. We have to identify it. We have to confront them. And we have to demand, let me go. I'm not going to live like this. And that's what needs to happen with many of God's people. They need to get tired of the life they're living, where they demand, let me go. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want to live a life of emptiness. I don't want to go to church and go home and feel the same way that I did when I came in. I want it to be different. Need to be liberated. And we can demand that by the authority and the power of God. Let me go. I'm not going to live this way. I'm tired of living this way. So all that God would help us to identify Pharaohs in our lives. And what, again, as we said this morning, don't enlist in a life under Pharaoh. How foolish. And yet people do it all the time. And God's people trying to be kind will say, well, congratulations. That doesn't make sense. Why would you congratulate somebody who's now on a road of ruin? They need to be just told. Do you see what you're doing? Can you see that? Don't you see what's happening? And that if we enlist in Pharaoh's service, I would hope that there's somebody that loves me enough to say, Brother Dan, do you see what you're doing? Can't you see the path that you're taking? God help us. The desire to be set free from Pharaoh. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.